This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on John Bean, veteran of Acorn's heroic era. More than 15 years ago, during the Hot Rock organizing campaign for hotel workers in New Orleans, I worked with an organizer named David Kiefer. David had been around a number of organizations before partnering with me and flying an AFL-CIO banner at the time, with stints going back to the AM-FM Canvas program in Tampa when we built the WMNF radio station there, then years with Act II, organizing textile workers in the South, and a breakthrough campaign organizing asbestos workers with the laborers in New York City. Dave had a mythical turn of phrase that cushioned his constant tinkering with his spreadsheets and would refer to organizers and organizing drives at different points as belonging to the historic, heroic era of this or that. The phrase comes to mind as I think about the passing of John Beam, another veteran of Acorn's first dozen years of organizing in Arkansas and beyond. Clearly, in Dave's sense, and every sense I can imagine, a key organizer in the heroic founding days of the organization in the United States. John's passing follows other veterans of that era now in recent years, including Dewey Armstrong earlier in this year and John Kest almost 2 years ago now. These were great organizers in their day, and we won't see their like again or benefit from the kinds of contributions they made very soon in the future. For many years, John and I would joke about the coincidence that we had a multi-year streak of always sharing my birthday in August together. He was from Dallas and had driven up to be interviewed for a job with Acorn on a Saturday in the early 1970s on my birthday. He hadn't been long out of Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, outside of Chicago. Later, he actually took that trip we children of the West always talk about, and in fact, traveled one way and another deep into Latin America. He was always ready to go. Another one of my birthdays in 1974, we spent driving to the Missouri Boot Hill, that small piece of delta land that juts along the Mississippi River into Arkansas and is more south than anything else. We tried our first baby steps of expanding Acorn by answering a call from a group there called MDEM, the Missouri Delta Ecumenical Ministry, and recruited an organizer from Chicago who John trained on a quick drive in Maplevale in Pulaski County outside of Little Rock. He'd done all right, but clearly it wasn't working out in the Boot Hill for any of us, so we had drawn the short straw of going up, closing down this brief trial balloon called the American Community Organizations for Reform Now, and sending him on his way as well. That was just the way John and I celebrated the passing of another year. John spent years working for Acorn. He opened up one of our earliest expansion offices in the 2080 push in Memphis, Tennessee. Heck, maybe that was on my birthday too, but I may be making that up. He worked later as one of the early Acorn regional directors based in New Orleans after 1978. He was part of the mix and mayhem of the New Orleans jobs action that led to arrest and mess as we pushed Mayor Dutch Morial for summer jobs for youth. But if I tried to remember perhaps John's most epic piece of organizing for Acorn during those heroic days, it was in the delta of the Arkansas River organizing the Protect Our Land Association, POLA, and SHAP Acorn, standing for Save Health and Property. Arkansas Power and Light, then part of Mid-South Utilities and now Entergy, submitted a proposal to the Public Service Commission to build what they'd called the world's largest coal-fired power plant at White Bluff on the west side of the Arkansas River, midway between Pine Bluff and Little Rock. We were already fighting AP&L and other utilities on inflation-driven rate hikes for our members right and left. Initially, jumped into this fight because we were convinced that it would raise our members' electric rates yet again. We operated the campaign on every level, researching the stock ownership and opening the front on the campaign at Harvard and other Ivies that were big holders. Steve Kest, our research director, was reading reports of damage to cows under the lines in Europe and studies about sulfur emission damage to crops in Sweden. We were outsmarting and out-hustling the company at every turn. The company, for its part, was intent on constructing a slurry line eventually, and until then running 100-car trains that would move coal from the Powder River Basin and the giant Fort Union coal deposit in eastern Wyoming, North Dakota, and Montana, where we were also engaged with allied groups of farmers and ranchers in the fight. Acorn was never an advocacy group, though. It was always a membership-based, membership-driven organization, so no matter how many bells and whistles we might develop for the campaign, the organizing would rise or fall on whether or not we could get farmers and rural residents downwind of the proposed White Bluff plant to organize with Acorn and lead the fight. That was just the kind of job and challenge for John Beam, and he delivered big time, driving miles and walking the long distances up country roads to farmhouse doors and talking to families about what White Bluff would bring down on them, how it would affect their crops, and the impact on the health of their livestock and families. I'll never forget the shock on the face of the local AP&L office director in their small office in Stuttgart in the middle of the eastern Arkansas rice-growing region when John and I, along with others, followed about 25 farmers into his office demanding more information on the plans, and no movement until we were satisfied. They wanted to fly some of the farmers to see the Paradise Plan in Kentucky, and not only did we blast them on the plant's environmental record, but packed the small planes with our farmers and just tore them up. The campaign brought us our first front page story in the Arkansas Gazette. We won huge reductions in size and increased protections from the plant, and we were able to counter APNL at every turn. John left Acorn in 1982, some years later. He married Polly Chase, another former organizer and later a nurse who was from the East Coast. They ended up in New York City. Our paths didn't cross as much over the last few decades. I ran into him a couple times in Acorn's Brooklyn office. He wrote some proposals for New York Acorn. He even ended up directing a joint project based at Fordham University on education for some years with us. Nonetheless, in my mind, jumping out of our old cars onto the shoulder of eastern Arkansas highways to talk to a couple of more farmers, or walking into the cafes where they were having coffee early in the morning and talking about White Bluff, and finally beating that company like a drum thanks to John's great work in the fields and farmhouses, will always feel like his finest hour with Acorn, and he will be missed. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.